Well, it is Christmas time. Ah, yes, the music cued right on time. Do you guys enjoy Christmas time? How many of you enjoy Christmas? Would you raise your hands? You know, you have the lights, you have the sounds, you have the smells, the scenery, like decorations, you know, the food, time with family and friends, preparations, anticipation for that Christmas morning. Man, it's one of my favorite times of the year. I love this, the Charlie Brown Christmas special as well, the Christmas movies. It's just an amazing time. But at the same time, in roughly 72 hours, Christmas time will come to a halt. Right? It's going to end. And so how do we respond in times like that? You know, like, and often our plans don't always work out the way that we want them to, that friends and family who come over aren't always so kind, that the gifts that we thought so much about, some of you even months in advance, you give the gift and someone's like, I already have one of these, or I didn't want this. Or the decorations and pretty soon the garbage of all the wrapping paper and the leftover food, et cetera, that you have to throw out, it just kind of gets old and stale, right? And it's not so pretty anymore. Or as you think about the reality that winter is just beginning, right? That it'll be another 5 months before we see the sunshine again in Western New York, is what it feels like sometimes. And so it's very easy for people to fall into this post-Christmas blues. You ever been there? You ever felt there? Like all this anticipation for this day, and then the day ends, and you're just kind of like, there's New Year's, right? That's the next thing you look into, but it's not the same. It's not the same. And so studies have revealed that up to as many as 25% of Americans fall into this post-Christmas depression, this post-Christmas blues. And so what are we to do about that? Like how do we live through that? Some of you, and maybe even Western New York, the rates may even be higher. I don't know, with all the, well, there's no snow right now, but in the future, when it just kind of feels like the days are just dragging on and you don't see the sunset or you don't see the sunrise. Well, you know, a lot of people, they kind of go through that time, the blues, by living on the emotional high of spending time with family and friends. Or some people, they, you know, they'll kind of keep that present and not open it for like days after Christmas to kind of keep that feeling going a little bit longer. Or, you know, some people leave their decorations up for weeks, some people even months longer than they should, only to get odd looks from neighbors who are like, they realize it's like March, right? They probably should take those things down. And yet other people, they feel just guilty for all the sweets and the food that they've eaten, probably more in the last week of Christmas than they have the entire year. And so they already start planning their New Year's resolutions the day after to try to see, okay, when am I going to get to the gym? I got to get that membership that I'll never use, right? And so this is kind of a pattern that our culture goes through, this putting our hope in Christmas, not necessarily in the reason why we celebrate Christmas. It's easy to fall into that pattern. I fall into that myself. And so all this preparation, this anticipation, this hype for one day, what are we to do? Where are we to turn? And not even just in for Christmas Eve, but what about in any season of our lives? Seasons when it's difficult, when it's discouraging, when there's sadness. Some of you may even at this Christmas go to a Christmas celebration where there'll be someone who was there years before, but this year will not be there. What are we to turn in times like this? Well, that's what I want to talk about this morning. See, over the last month, we've been talking about, in the series Near, the idea that God is near. Emmanuel is God with us, that God is close to you. He's close to me. And over the last 3 weeks, we've talked about that in different people that we've looked at. We looked at Jesus as the shepherd. We talked about how he is there to protect us, to watch over us, and he helps us when we are overwhelmed. And then we looked at the life of Rahab. Remember Rahab's story, that at first her story was not so good. She was a prostitute. And yet God, as she surrendered herself to God and looked to God, that God changed the trajectory of her life so that the lineage of Jesus was birthed through her, making her mess a beautiful, beautiful message for us, that he can do the same for us today. And then we looked at God the Father, that we have a Father who loves us and has incredible plans and gifts for us, his kids. And today I want to look at what is often an overlooked gift that many of us never really open, a gift from God that is not just for Christmas, but all year long, the gift of his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. Now, growing up in the church, I heard a lot about God, and even in college and different things like that, in different classes and chapels, and a lot about God, a lot about Jesus, didn't hear a ton about the Holy Spirit. I don't think it was intentional, but just that's kind of the way that most churches were, right? And just in conversations with people. And people, when they talk about the Holy Spirit, God is Holy Spirit, it might be a little uncomfortable, almost like they're referring to some sort of ghost of Christmas past, if you want to refer to it that way. Or some people even call it the Holy Ghost, right? So when I was a kid, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I don't want to be around a Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Like Scooby-Doo-ish ghost when I was a kid, right? Or, you know, many people treat the Holy Spirit like it's this impersonal, mystical thing, almost like the Force in Star Wars. And they miss out on the personality and the purpose of who the Holy Spirit is and what he is to do. And so that's what I want to look at today. Because the reality is, the Holy Spirit is where we should turn in times when we feel down, in times when we feel happy, in times when we feel depressed and sad, and also in times when rejoicing, that he is our source of hope and life. He is part of the Godhead, the three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, we could spend a ton of time talking about the Holy Spirit, but we're going to just kind of scratch the surface today, and we're going to talk in a whole series next year, and the next fall, about the Holy Spirit. But I want to just refer and kind of give you the kind of snapshot of who he is as we relate to God's nearness to us, because it's so crucial. So I want to turn to John chapters 12 through 14. If you have a Bible, you can take one in front of you or use the app on your phone or whatever is best for you. I'll have some scriptures on the screen. You can take notes on your worship card there. There's a spot for you. But John chapter 12 through 14, let me summarize chapter 12, and we'll dig into 13 and 14 in just a second. But Jesus, in this passage, he's telling his disciples that if they have seen him, they have seen the Father. Did you get that? If you look at Jesus, you see what the Father is like in human form. So he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that truth, as it begins to sink into the disciples' hearts and minds, Jesus begins to explain the reason why he came. His upcoming, or his pending, or forthcoming crucifixion. And they're not getting it. They're not understanding it as he's sharing in these passages here. But then he assures them that they will not be left alone, that God is near to them, that he will even send to them the Holy Spirit. And that's where we're going to pick up now. John chapter 14, verse 26 says this. Listen to Jesus' words. He says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will be with you, he goes on to share. We'll continue in just a moment. But the Helper, he's saying the Holy Spirit is a helper. He's telling them in the midst of all the uncertainty, the fear that's going to surround them in the next few days and next few moments as the crucifixion happens and they see the Savior of the world be killed, and they wonder, what is going on? He's saying, well, before that happens, my Father's going to send you a helper who's going to comfort you, who's going to guide you. This helper is the Holy Spirit. Now, the Greek word paraclete, because the New Testament was written in the Greek word paraclete or helper is translated literally as one who is called to help alongside. Helper. Or another translation says it this way. The helper is referred to as the comforter, or another translation, the advocate. So these are descriptions of the Holy Spirit. And isn't it interesting? This time of year at Christmas, we read passages like we will tomorrow night as we have our Christmas Eve services in Isaiah 9:6, which says this, speaking of Jesus, he is described as the wonderful counselor. There's the word again, helper, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then Jesus, after he was crucified, was buried, and rose again, he left them, but he left, just as the Father sent, his Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. That's what he is. The Spirit of Jesus, the Helper, the Counselor. And so the first thing that we learn, if you're taking notes, about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit, he counsels us. He counsels us. Now, I used to be a counselor at a camp growing up as a kid, like, you know, teenager and young adult years, and maybe some of you have been a counselor at a camp. Now, I wasn't the best counselor. I was learning as I went, and I try to guide these middle school guys with me and for a week long, and that, imagine that picture. That would have been a pretty picture, right? So counseling these guys, and I've also counseled some of you, counseled many people, just kind of listening, walking with them. And so I wrote down, what does a counselor do? Like, if you could describe a counselor, what's his job description? I wrote down this. A counselor, a good counselor, is someone who is trained to listen, trained to provide guidance, someone who asks good questions, and someone who connects with people. And then a counselor is someone who's empathetic, who's wise and discerning, and often points and even confirms in others what they really already kind of knew deep down in themselves, and then nudges them in that direction to say, hey, this thing, let me go walk in that direction. Now, as we talked about in the fall, our 2020 vision. Our 2020 vision, one of our goals here at Watermark Wesleyan is to be a place where you can find wholeness. And we believe, above all else, that wholeness is only found in the person of Jesus, but that God uses Jesus and his Holy Spirit through people to help bring about wholeness. And we talked about we want to create a healing center as we save people and help them discover who Jesus is and how he died for them, just like we'll talk about tomorrow night. To give them life and hope and eternity in heaven, that there's a place where people then need a help to be able to heal from what has happened in the past, because many people are stuck in their past. They can't get beyond what has happened to them, whether it was their fault or someone else's. And so we've hired a counselor, and his name is Roger Smith, because we believe so much in helping people find wholeness through the power of Jesus, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, works through people like Roger to bring about healing and wholeness, to then train people, to then send people. We've talked about that. If you want to go online and listen to any of that series, you're welcome to do so. So we believe that people like Roger are gifted to be able to help counsel people, to walk with them, to encourage them. So I had a chance to sit down with Roger and to be able to ask him some questions. And kind of to summarize that conversation, two questions I asked. The first one was this: Roger, what do you love most about counseling people? And he said this very simply. He said, Kevin, I love to connect and walk with people. I love to help them find healing and wholeness, to move from that place where they're stuck in, to move forward from there. I was like, oh, that's awesome. That's great. And then the next question was, what's the most discouraging thing for you as a counselor? And he said this. He said, Kevin, the most discouraging thing is I only get to spend 1 hour a week with those people. See, I wish I could walk with them real time in their day-to-day moments and situations to encourage them. I only get 1 hour roughly a week with them, which is interesting because the counselor, with that in mind, the Spirit of Jesus that we've been talking about is near to you and to me right now to guide us every step in every aspect in every decision of our lives. That's one of his roles. That's one of his things he does. And for Roger, he's frustrated because he only gets 1 hour. The Holy Spirit, he is available to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at any time, at any place, with everything. Like, that's amazing to think about. To correct, to guide, to walk, to encourage, to comfort. These are his roles. Anytime, all day long. Let's listen to what Jesus has to say as he describes more of the Spirit's role in our lives and what who he is. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17 say this. Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. That's another name for the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. And the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But then he talks to his disciples and he said, but you know him. If you follow me, you know him. If you're a follower of Jesus, you know him. You've had interaction with him because that's how you were drawn to who Jesus is, to who God is. For he lives with you and he will be in you. Did you catch that? He lives with you and he will be in you, talking about the Holy Spirit. You probably heard the phrase, the doctor's in, right? The doctor's in. Or if you've ever watched the Charlie Brown special with Lucy, she's got that sign, the counselor's in, on her little booth that she has set up, right? Well, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, I want to encourage you and let you know the Holy Spirit was with you and in you. In other words, the counselor is in, and he's in you. He's in you. The Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, is in you. And all the power that goes with defeating sin and death is available to you 24/7. He indwells in you, if in every follower of Jesus. So secondly, if you're taking notes, the second thing we learn about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is always present with you and in you. That's amazing news. You are never alone. You have a counselor, an advocate, the Spirit of truth to recognize what is true and what is not true. He is with you, and he has promised to be with you forever if you are a follower of Christ. But the question that raises as a result of that is this: as a follower of Jesus, do you make yourself available to him? He's always available for you, but do you make yourself available to listen to him as he guides you, as he walks with you? Listen to what else he does. We understand who he is a little bit now. Again, we'll expound on this when we do the series, but this is who he is. Listen to what else he does. In John 14:26, says this, Jesus' words, the helper, there it is again, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. All things. And he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So we learn right there, number three, that the Holy Spirit both teaches us new things and helps us to remember the truths of Jesus' ministry. He teaches and helps us recall. And which is interesting because I think a lot of people are looking for that next epiphany, that next new idea. Especially people who have been along in their faith, who are on this journey walking with Jesus. I want to learn something new. I would argue that for many of us, we need to be reminded more of what we already know than the new things that we wish we knew. Does that make sense? That God has planted those things in us that he wants to recall, to remember the promises of who he is and who we are. Too many times we're distracted to want to know the next thing when God has already given us that. And the Spirit, his role is to remind us of these things. To look at Jesus' life and his teaching and his ministry and say, oh, that's right. I forgot about that. So as we live our lives and as we face the decisions of life, the Holy Spirit will be there not just to teach us new things when we need it, but to remind us and give us what we need at exactly the right moment, the promises and the hope and the promise of what Jesus has said and what he did and how he lived. Now, it's interesting because you think about today in church and so many different ideas. In the first church, when they were first established, when they were trying to just kind of put everything together, Jesus had resurrected, the Spirit was with them, there were teachings that were kind of all over the board. And so the early church fathers put together these creeds, these sentences, these statements that summarized what they believed and connected them together. So it kind of was like a, here's who we are, this is what we believe statement. And one of those is the Nicene Creed. Listen to what they put together when they described who this Holy Spirit was. It says this in the Nicene Creed. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. And with the Father and the Son, he talks about he is a person. He, the Holy Spirit, is worshipped and glorified, that he has spoken through the prophets, that the ability for the prophets to proclaim prophecy of Jesus' birth and other things, that was through the power of the Holy Spirit, not just their idea, what they wanted. The Holy Spirit is how we even are able to see God. He's drawing us to God, that he desires us, that when we pray, when we seek God in his word, that's the Spirit working in our lives. And sometimes it feels easy to worship God the Father and God the Son, but then we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's just kind of, have you ever thought about worshiping the Holy Spirit? He is part of the Godhead, the three in one. And when we recognize what his role is and what he does in teaching us and guiding us and leading us and comforting us, it makes me want to worship the Holy Spirit. that too often we forget or kind of push him to the side because we don't understand it completely. We don't understand him and what he's doing. Now, technically, I could end the message right here. Right? That's a lot of information. Good things about who the Spirit is and what he does. And maybe you can go home and finish wrapping a couple presents, or maybe pick up that last present, or do some last-minute recipe making, or whatever that looks like. That's not me. I go to the store and buy stuff. But I want to finish with this final thought, because we can't end right there. It's easy for us to kind of get the head knowledge of who the Spirit is and miss the heart knowledge of why this all matters in our lives. Because there's so many believers that I know that know things, but I've never let it sink in and apply what they know. And as it relates to the Holy Spirit, here's why it matters. See, the Holy Spirit helps us, empowers us, and enables us to live life to the full. The way that God designed us to live from the very beginning. To live a life that looks like Jesus. And how we live and how we love others. That's the Spirit's role, to make us more like Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus working in our lives, using the Word of God and using our circumstances to make us and transform us more into His, God's Son. That's why it's so important. But let me be honest, in the culture that we live in a self-help culture. I can do it myself. I want to do this myself. I can do this on my own, we say. Any real transformation of the heart cannot be done on human standards. It's only the work of God. It's only the work of the Holy Spirit working in our lives that things like this can be done. Many people think that they can plan or have a regimen or a habit or a goal that they can achieve on their own. Maybe for some tangible things, but for us to actually transform in our character and our thinking. Like, I don't know about you, I look back in this year, 2018, my family and I, we have a tradition where we make like a photo book of the entire year and kind of get it out right around Christmas time or right after the new year and kind of look back and see and then pull back past years and look how funny we looked and all these different things, kind of reflecting. And then we have this tradition where we, in our Christmas stocking on New Year's Eve, we pull out a Christmas, you know, like this envelope, and it has like predictions of what we thought last year, where we're going to be personally in our ministry and in our friends and relationships. And some of them are really, really funky and weird, and others are, hey, that's pretty close. That's what we thought. So we have this moment of reflection. And as you reflect over your life, maybe you're like me. I think, you know what, 2018 was good. It was a great year. But I want to be better in 2019. Like I want to forgive better. I want to love better. I want to be more patient in 2019. You know, I want to be more peaceful. I want to be more self-disciplined. And it's easy for us to think I can do that on our own. Without the Holy Spirit working in your life, there will be no lasting long impact in those areas of your life because they're hard issues. And we as a society have tried to have government help us change these areas of our lives, set up laws and regulations and programs. They don't work. The only thing, the only plan that works is the Holy Spirit working in us. He is the one that changes our hearts and our minds and transforms us to become more like Jesus. That's the goal. That's His goal, to make us more like Jesus. And that's why it's so important to let it sink into your heart and not just know it in your mind. So how do we do this? How do we see the power of the Spirit work in our lives? This is where we're going to wrap up. Listen to Paul's words in Galatians chapter 5. This is how we see the Spirit work in our lives. He says this, "So I say, walk by the Spirit." In other words, let the Spirit guide your lives. "And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict. They're fighting with each other. What we want and what the Spirit wants. So that you are not to do whatever you want." Here's the secret to how to let the Spirit of God work in us. We are to walk in step with. Or as other translations say, we are to be guided by the Holy Spirit, to walk in step with. Now, maybe you've experienced this before. My wife and I, we have two young kids. I love them, but they're getting older and older. But when they were really young, you ever try to go anywhere with two young kids? Some of you even have more kids or grandkids, to try to walk in step with them? like just literally going to a store or going for a hike in the woods. Like some of them are like, I know at times like our son is like way in front of us and my daughter's like lagging way behind. So in the same illustration, we need to like grab their hands and walk just for their own safety sometimes. Okay, we're going to cross this parking lot to walk in step with one another because our legs are longer, our paces are different. What Paul is saying is we need to, in the same way with our lives, in our hearts and our minds, walk in step with the Holy Spirit. To be aligned with him, to say, God, not my way, because my way is has a tendency to move way in front of you, to worry about things in the future. I have no right to worry about, or to be so far behind, lagging behind, that I'm stuck in something that, God, you've already done and healed and moved beyond by the power of your Spirit, I fall back into that guilt or that shame that you've already forgiven me of. Paul's saying you need to hold on to abide, Jesus says, in the Spirit, to walk in step and allow him to lead you and guide you through every aspect of your life. See, the Holy Spirit is near to us. I had a professor in seminary who said this. He said that God is closer to you, his Spirit is closer to you than you are to yourself. That he knows you, he's in you, if you are a follower of Christ. And so it reminds me of Mary's posture when an angel came to her on that very first, before that first Christmas, 9 months prior, when the angel said to her, God's got big plans for you. And he went on to say this, in talking about the Holy Spirit's role in Mary's life and the parallel between her life and our life. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And the same thing God is saying to you, do not be afraid. You're God's kids. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, for his kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel. Good question. How is this going to work? How will this be? Since I'm a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit, the helper, the counselor, the advocate, the Spirit of truth, will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Like, it's easy to just kind of read over that and forget the Holy Spirit's place in that. That is how Jesus came to be, through the Holy Spirit. Did you know that the creation of the world, the Holy Spirit was there hovering over the waters at the beginning? Like, this is so crucial for us today, regardless of whatever season we are in or about to go in or what we've just come out of. Regardless of how you feel, the Spirit of God is available to you if you are available to him. And just as we read that Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb, and the Holy Spirit overshadowed her to birth something new, something beautiful, something holy, in the form of Jesus. And what was Mary's response? Let it be. That's what I want. Like the Beatles song, let it be. Except she was like, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit is in us, overshadows each one of us. And like those who are followers of Jesus, to birth something new, something beautiful, something holy in you, and me, to make us more like his son Jesus, so that we could have his character, his mind, his heart. And you could see the results of that. What does that look like? Well, you've probably heard this before. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy. This describes God. This describes Jesus. This describes who God wants us to be. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is what God wants to birth in us, to do in us. And again, these supernatural qualities are something that we cannot do on our own. We try to do all these things, but we cannot. But we can walk in step with the Spirit, and he does these things in us, the Spirit of Jesus. given to all of us who say, let it be, I'm available. I'm going to invite the worship band to come up at this time. I encourage you just to bow your heads and close your eyes, because I want to give you a time just to reflect on what we've just talked about. We've understood who the Spirit is, the Spirit of Jesus, truth, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Advocate, and His role. He wants to remind you of all things, but He also wants to teach you new things and to make you more like His Son. That's why He came. And so as you're sitting there with your eyes closed and your head bowed, I just want to ask you a couple simple questions. Between you and God, how are you? How is your heart? Are you loving the best you can out of your own strength? Or is it because of God in you, the Spirit of Jesus, the love that said, you before me, that I'll lay down my life for you? And where do we need to grow in that? Where do we need to say, Holy Spirit, let it be. Let it be a little bit more this year. I want all of you. Or loving others, because how we love others is a direct result of how we love and view God. Because we're His most precious commodity, His most precious possession. We're His kids. How are you loving others? And also, do you have the joy that comes with knowing God in your life? Joy regardless of circumstances, this deep joy, this hope. Do you have peace? Even when it feels like there's stuff going on all around you, there's chaos, things you can't control. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus says, I give you my peace. Today, would you say, let it be. I want that. Maybe patience or kindness. Are you kind, even to people that don't deserve kindness? Or gentleness, that how you say things and the way you say things. Or faithfulness. That you trust God no matter what. You have a faith, a trust that He is who He says He is, and He'll do what He says He'll do, regardless of how it looks. Or even just self-control. That your yes means yes and your no means no. And that you're trusting in the Holy Spirit to say, this is what I want you to do today. And you follow that. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, in these moments, we thank you that you counsel us, that you help us, that you walk with us, that you guide us. May we be people to quickly abide in you, to be connected to you, to walk in step with you so that you can do your work in our life. So that regardless of how we feel, if we're down, if we're discouraged, with it comes with the Christmas blues, or if it comes with just life that happens around us, we would be connected to you. And we would trust that you are guiding and leading, and you're going to remind us of things that we know, and you're going to teach us things that we need to know right at the right time. And so this Christmas, we ask that your will be done as we live and love like Jesus everywhere we go. We thank you. May you have your way in us, in Jesus' name.